could sing America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, the shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Let's say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, if you ask me where I come from, here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place, where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams, and happiness isn't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we got it good. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. Same way that my daddy did, where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. Yes, there's a lady that stands in the harbor for what we believe, and there's a bell that still echoes the price that it cost to be free.
Of America, cut it to its very core. Do you know what you'll find? Freedom, liberty, justice, democracy, defender against tyranny, helper of the oppressed.
Stands up.
Aren't you proud to be a citizen of these United States of America? It truly is an exceptional nation, a country that has been abundantly and richly blessed. You know, it is no wonder that many of us well up with emotion and pride when we see that old flag. It's our symbol of freedom, and it waves majestically in the wind. That's why some of us can't help but stare when we see a soldier in uniform. They remind us of a sacrifice that continues to be made on our behalf and the price it costs for preserving the freedom we all enjoy. Yes, we are. We are proud to be called Americans. But there's a great host of us that are even more proud to be called Christians. For we believe that true freedom, liberty, justice, and prosperity come from a sovereign God who gave us principles by which to govern our lives and to govern our society. It may seem a little strange to us today to combine a person's patriotism with Christianity, but not in the minds of our founding fathers. George Washington, our first president, said,
"To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian."
The father of our country felt comfortable intertwining American patriotism with Christianity. Although many modern historians would like to rewrite or alter America's past, there is overwhelming evidence that a majority of the founding fathers were believers in Jesus Christ. Of the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, 50 of them were regular church attenders, and 29 of them even had seminary degrees. We need only to read the personal writings of these men to gain a clear understanding of the integral part the Bible played in our beginnings and the spiritual foundation upon which this great nation was built. Charles Carroll, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, said,
"I am grateful to the Almighty God for the blessings through Jesus Christ, our Lord, He conferred upon my beloved country."
Benjamin Rush, another signer who is known as the father of American medicine, said,
"The gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes the wisest rulers for just conduct in every solution of life."
Francis Hopkinson, another signer, was one of the first federal judges appointed by George Washington. He was a church music director and a church organist who wrote America's first purely American hymnal. John Witherspoon, president of Princeton University and signer of the Declaration of Independence, said,
"I entreat you in the most earnest manner to believe in Jesus Christ, for there is no salvation in any other. If you're not reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, if you're not clothed with the spotless robe of His righteousness, you must forever perish."
These are the founders of this nation. Patrick Henry, the man who cried, "Give me liberty or give me death," said,
"It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ."
Amen. These great patriots and many more like them were statesmen, men of character and integrity. They possessed a great faith in God and adhering to biblical principles for the betterment of all mankind. They affixed their names to the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundational document of our government. From this great foundation, they constructed the Constitution of the United States. These documents were the beginnings of what would produce one of the greatest nations in all of history. But our greatness is not because of our might or our intellect. America is exceptional because we adopted certain principles from our beginning that God was able to bless. Our second president, John Adams, said, "The general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity." Our seventh president, Andrew Jackson, said,
The rock is which our republic rests."
Did you know that the first Bible printed in the English language in America was printed with United States congressional approval? It happened in 1782. In the records, it states that the Holy Scriptures were printed for the use in our schools. For 320 years, the Bible was a part of a public education. It has only been in the last 50 years that the courts decided to remove the Bible from our public schools. Abraham Lincoln said,
"The philosophy of school in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next."
Think about that one. Somewhere along the way, we've left the God of our fathers Instead of following the biblical path of our founders, we trusted in our own wisdom, replacing the perfect, unchanging laws of God with laws of our own making. We, now as a nation, find ourselves morally bankrupt, financially ruined, and full of corruption. I wonder if we realize how dangerously close we are to losing the America that we all love. Abraham Lincoln also prophetically warned,
America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedom, it would be because we destroyed ourselves.
But there's a remnant of believers across this nation who still believe that God can rescue and God can still save, and that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. We can no longer sit around and complain about our political leaders. We must rise up and sound the alarm. From the church house to the White House, it's time to cry out to God on behalf of our nation and to ask Him to forgive us and to cleanse us and to heal our land. God can heal the soul of our nation. He can still change the hearts of men and women. There is hope for our children. With mercy and love, He calls out to all of us. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land.
these words?
Lord, you can heal our land. Only you can heal our land. On our knees.
On our knees, we need to talk to him. Amen. Charles Spurgeon talked about there was a great, mighty knee work that needed to be done, and our country needs knee work now more than ever.
Now we humbly seek your face. Hear your people as we pray. Heal our land. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We're standing on the might of your word. We believe. We believe. Lord, you can heal our land. Only you can heal our land. On our knees. On our knees. We confess we've lost our way. Now we humbly seek your face. Hear your people as we pray. Heal our land. We believe. We
zone. We counted long enough on government to keep us strong. We are the fiber and the conscience that has built our land. The signs have shown us that the final judgment is at in school. Our golden rule has changed. He who has the gold makes the rule. Well, there's going to be a judgment day, not in the courts or halls, when the last shall be the first, and when the mind the mighty falls. There's judgment in the words he spoke, 'cause Jesus Christ
A great majority of those responsible for the birth of this nation knew that Jesus Christ living in a person, in a city, in a nation, is what truly gives life, liberty, purpose, and freedom.
It's not conservative or liberal, however they're defined. It's not about interpretation or the judgment of the mind. It's the opposite of politics, power or prestige. It's about a simple message and whether we believe. It's still the cross, it's still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captive free. It's still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. It's still the cross. Suit our needs. We can justify sweet subtle lies that are wrapped in noble deeds. We can alter our convictions to adapt to social whims, but we cannot change the gospel or the truth contained within.
Bow your heads for just one moment, please. Thank God for the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ loved you and he died for you, for all our friends in the radio audience and internet audience and here in the building. And what a great tragedy to know that there were young men and women who in days gone by and even today on foreign soil are fighting that we might have freedom, and yet so many are still in bondage. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and he suffered and bled and died that in him you might have real freedom. God, I believe, has extended the days of this democracy to preach the gospel for that we might help to get the gospel out around the world. And even for you today, God has given you this day that you might know him in a real way and be saved. If you're not saved today, The Lord Jesus Christ loved you and he died for you. The Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He died that you might be saved, that you might be set free from the bondage of sin. He came to set at liberty those that were bound. And he can do that through his own blood by your accepting him as your Savior and Lord. And right now, while we have our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, here in the building and our friends in the media audience, would you right now, if you've never trusted Christ, would you come to him by faith and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come in my heart and save me right now. Forgive me of all my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. Dear friend, if you pray that prayer here in the building or in the media audience, we'd love to know it. We want to help you. We want to help you to grow in the Lord. We want to rejoice with you in that. And for those of us who are saved, thank God for Brad and the choir this morning. And you and I in this day, we are the last generation, I believe, before Jesus comes. And whatever we do, we need to do now to get the gospel out around the world to win souls for Christ. And right now, while we are here in this quiet time, I want to ask you please to stand. And I want us to do this. The choir sang a song a while ago about we believe on our knees. If you're here, first of all, this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come. If you have trusted him just a few moments ago, let us know. But if you're not saved, come bow around this altar. But I want to invite you on this Sunday. Tomorrow will be Memorial Day. But I want us, first of all, to come today to employ and to seek the Lord that he might send revival in America. Thank him for what he's done and ask him to do it again. Ask God to send me a revival. And while we're praying, let's thank God for our military families, for those who paid the supreme sacrifice in days gone by, for their descendants, for those who are now actively serving, and for our veterans who are here in the building. But will you join me here around this altar this morning? And I want us to have a moment, a season of prayer. If God spoke to your heart and you want to just come and thank God for America, ask God to grant revival, I invite you to come for just a moment of prayer. We'll have a prayer and then you'll return to your seats quietly in just a few moments. But I want you to come. If you want to come and kneel, if you want to come and stand for just a moment, I invite you to do that. I want to get, Brother Brad, if we've got a microphone, I'm going to ask one of our World War II veterans here this morning, Dr. Kerry Watkins. We're going to get him a microphone. And Dr. Watkins, would you lead us and ask God to send revival one more time? We join our hearts together. We do believe that God's able. Let's pray together as Dr. Watkins leads us this morning as we pray for God to have mercy on America and for revival. Dr. Watkins.
Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, our eternal home. Oh God, we come in your presence this morning. We ask you in Jesus' name to send a great revival. Oh, precious God, tear down the bastions of sin and bring the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to our very hearts and lives. Oh, God. Multitudes upon multitudes in the regions of this world and this land who do not know Jesus. God, help us this morning to understand that without Christ, we are helplessly lost and facing a devil's hell. Thank you this morning that we can still come in a place like this given over to the ministry of God. And Lord, as we come, we want to humble ourselves again and over again. God, take us. Use us. Help us to be willing to give ourselves to help others come to know Jesus. And now, Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name, if there's a person in this building or a person in the places where this service is going who does not know Jesus Christ in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, I pray, oh God, in Jesus' name, that they would bow right now and just humbly ask the Lord Jesus to come into their lives and save them from the depths of a devil's hell. God, thank you for this service this morning. Thank you for what you've done for us. And I pray in Jesus' name that if we're blessed to have days ahead, that we'll be careful not only to live for Jesus, but to let him be known through our communities, our homes, our schools, and across this great land. Oh, God, you've been so good to us. We thank you and praise you, and we beg you to help us in Jesus' name to be soul winners for Jesus Christ, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Let us be about the Father's business. Thank you again for this service today. In Jesus' name, amen.